This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Fanbyte's premier RPG podcast. 99 Potions. It is August 3rd, 2022, as we're recording this, and Natalie isn't here for that, like, big long pause joke to work, because she's the one who always freaks out when I do that. But I am joined still by Imran. Khan,
hello.
News editor of fanbyte.com.
I don't freak out, but I'm like, did something break?
Did something break?
I trust you enough to be like, if Nerium's doing this on purpose, there's a reason.
Right, exactly. I am also joined by one, it says here, Mike Williams.
Hello, hello, folks. How's everybody doing today?
I'm handling things okay. I just had a siren go off outside of my house for a little while because it is the first Wednesday of the month, which is when they test the, like, tornado sirens.
The news quest siren.
I was about to say, is that like an air raid siren, a cop siren? What are we talking here? But
yeah,
you have a tornado warning. See, you shouldn't live there if there needs to be a tornado warning siren.
Yeah, definitely nothing bad happens anywhere else in the country. And there's somebody who knows all about that is Merritt K. I don't
what
know
do you
your
mean,
title
New
anymore.
York?
New York?
My title. I'm resident New Yorker.
Merit title is just New York.
Yeah, just New York. Hey, Mike, have you ever considered a career in, like, easy listening radio? Because I feel like you have a really good, like, radio, like, and next up, we've got...
I can't
think of the name of a single recording artist right now, but, you know, there's a lot of
Arcade Fire.
Maybe either that or perhaps, like, I'll do, like, sleep YouTuber. Like, so, like, you just put it on.
That's good, too.
And just, like, read a book for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Williams.
They should have you host the Wholesome Directs, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. They don't usually have, like, a narrator on those, do they?
No.
It's just game.
Because there's, like, 5,000 games, and it's...
I was about to say, it would lead to people, like, just falling asleep. Like,
yeah,
just be,
yeah,
like, halfway through, like, oh, wow.
It's funny you mentioned, like, the voice on Nintendo Directs, because there was a period of my life where I did fall asleep to Nintendo Direct videos, because I think they still have this guy. I haven't listened or watched one in a while, but they used to have, like, the guy who would do the English translation... for the devs, for, like, Nintendo devs and staff, would always just be like, in this game, we thought Mario Kart 8 would be a perfect title because we have a course that looks like a figure eight. And it was just always, like, so calming, and, like, his delivery was so just, like, chill. And I would just put those on to fall asleep.
You could do that with the one where it was the last Nintendo Direct that they did before Super Smash Bros. Ultimate came out. And it was just that guy reading patch notes for, like, an hour and a half. And it was very funny because, like, people were like, okay, it's a Nintendo Direct. What are they going to do? And they went through every single character and all the changes that were made. And, like, and that's it. Bye, everybody.
It was, they have that guy now, so who good. Like, his whole thing is just like, saying a thing very incredulously before he enters the game. It's like, it's all Kirby's friends and enemies. And then,
what?
Like, they introduce a new Kirby game. And it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I get the gimmick. You don't need to do this every single time.
No. I do like it when they introduce like a character that like clearly nobody in like the Nintendo audience is going to know, and then they're like, it's this character that you all know and love, and it's like the classic example is Terry Bogard getting announced for Super Smash Brothers, and a bunch of like Nintendo fans being like, who the fuck is that? That's not fucking Minecraft Steve. I don't know. Nobody knows who Terry Bogard is. Like,
that's not my blurbo.
That's not your blurbo. Exactly. And just, you know, no respect for the broader history of video games.
Yeah. I mean, they could fix that if they put Terry Bogard in Fortnite.
They should put Terry Bogard in Fortnite. They should put Terry Bogard in Fortnite.
We're like 6 months away from that happening.
Totally. Terry Bogard is in Fall Guys. I don't know if you... That literally just got announced today.
Him and Maisha and I are in that game. but, like, I miss the shovel knightization of characters. You would just put... You would put one character into just every game, and then people would just eventually get sick of them.
Yeah, Sans Undertale, Shovel. Obviously, Shovel Knight is really a good example.
But like, why can't we just put Terry Bogard into like Mario Party? Okay, this is an unrelated thing, but I'm on Adderall and my mind's bracing around. I was driving the other day and I saw you know those signs people hang on, like, or not signs, they're flags, those triangular flags that say like God bless America or bless this house or whatever. This one said God Bless America as the caption, but the art behind it was key art from Super Mario Party. I recognized it immediately. Like, I know that's the box art from Mario Party. And the word said in the Mario font, God Bless America. And I'm like, does this person know? Like, did they buy this intentionally being like, this is so fucking stupid, I love it? Or are they like, hell yeah, Mario would say God Bless America.
I feel like... Like Mario Party and Super Mario Party do represent America as it is, mm-hmm. in that.
No, because there's an equal chance of winning.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you can find yourself maybe doing everything right and getting to the end. And then mm-hmm. somebody does a star switch and now you're at the bottom.
Yeah.
So. Like an accurate, like in America mode for Mario Party would be somebody starts out with 7 stars and then just still wins. Like they're more, wow, more don't likely
get,
going
hey,
to win.
Hey, don't get political.
Don't get political here.
Don't get political on this podcast.
Yeah, our speed run will be dismissed because we mentioned the Supreme Court.
Oh my God. All right, we need to move on to literally anything else, which is news, because this is the news quest, because we skipped it last week. We, as everybody who listens to 99 Potions, everybody knows that we always hit the news quest out the last Wednesday of every month. We've never missed a beat, but this is the first time we've had to swap things up. So we did. And we're doing it on the first Wednesday of this new month instead, because we recorded Stray last week. Was that
No, last week was Fire Emblem.
That was Fire Emblem. Because I listened to that one.
Oh, hell yeah. Good. I'm glad. Yeah. Oh my God.
I listened to every episode, obviously, but...
Yeah, of course. I mean, no wonder I can't remember last week, because last week's episode was a fever dream. That episode was very good, though.
Look, it's a legitimate question whether somebody who's never tasted wine could tell if something was wine or Gatorade.
It's a legitimate question, and
it's like, that's like one of the great philosophical questions. Like, do we, when I say something is blue, do we see the same color? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Shadows on a wall, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Imran, you want to hit us with just a little tasty bite of the news?
Yeah, so today there was like a Pokemon presentations, whatever. The thing they do every so often where they're like, we haven't marketed the game that's going to sell 15 million copies in 2 months in a while. Let's just do a stream for it.
Why not?
I didn't watch the stream because they show it at absurd times of the day for Pacific time zone. It is 6 a.m. I am not waking at 6 a.m. to see LeChonk.
I feel like Rep was up, though.
Yeah, no, she wakes up at 5:30 anyway.
Like, wait, why? What?
That, wow, she that's just so does. Inspiring. I wish I could do that.
Like, so she wakes up at 5:30. She will, like, hang out with the cats for a bit, like, do watch some stuff, then go exercise, all before I wake up.
Wow. What time does she go to bed?
10.
Wow.
Like, around 10. So I will also go to bed at 10, and then I will also still sleep till about 7.
Good. I mean, you should. People need more sleep.
She was awake and she was watching this Pokemon Presents
wild.
Thing. We have a full recap on fanbite.com from Kenneth Shepherd, because mm-hmm. Kenneth was awake and Kenneth was watching this. But yeah, they confirmed some things that we will not go over necessarily in this thing. We're not going to go over this whole Pokemon Presents.
You can put stupid hats on your Pokemon now.
You can put hats on your Pokemon, yes. You can also make them glitter with crystals.
But he's got a new hat.
That Malibu Stacy is entirely worth paying $60 for again.
Yeah.
But they announced the Terra Crystals thing that changes the type of a Pokemon to... Mm-hmm. Basically, there's a thing called same type attack bonus. Stab, yes. That you can now manipulate as the system for this game. That was leaked a couple of weeks to a month ago, where somebody just started taking weird, blurry pictures to filter out information of, like, the gym leaders, the evolutions, and all that jazz. And they mentioned this Terra Crystals thing. They also mentioned, at the time, that in terms of structure, you can, in this game, go anywhere you want, do anything in any order you want, but none of it will scale. And everyone thought, hey, that's not likely because that's stupid.
It's a bad idea.
Why would you do that? But, like, there would be no way we'd ever see confirmation of that until the game comes out.
Right.
But the leaker, again, specifically mentioned Terra Crystals. So, more than likely, that leaker is correct.
Oh, that's the best.
Actually, you know what? I think that's a good idea, because then it's what we've got, essentially, is Elden Ring.
I was going to say that, yeah.
We have a Pokemon Elden Ring now, because you can just go straight to... Just, like, skip ahead to, like, a hard gym and beat it, and then just go back and, like, stomp those normal-type loser gyms in the first, like, hour of the game.
See, that's what I'm afraid of. That's what I feel like the structure won't work, is that I will, like, go to a gym that I'm like, oh, I can beat that. I'm good enough at Pokemon that I think I could beat this gym because I have a type advantage and blah, 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 blah. I've got,
yeah,
like,
and also the AI in these games, if you actually know how to play them, is terrible.
But
yes,
but unlike Elden Ring... It's still an RPG, so you still got to worry about stats. Like, you can't, like in an Elden Ring or FromSoft, you can skill your way out of
that's true.
Stat advantage. But also, I've seen speedruns of people who take a starter Pokemon and, like, beef them up with rare candies and whatever X attacks that like, makes a thing work, and then beat a strong, like, I've seen them beat Elite Four with, like, one or two.
Oh, yeah, Pokemon. No, people do some wild stuff with these games.
Yeah. So, like, this feels like a really cool thing for them, but for everyone else, it's like, okay, well, why wouldn't I just go in the order that's appropriate for my level? Otherwise, I'm going to be going back to a level one gym with 7 badges and being like, okay, let me stomp your 8 Pidgeys.
Yeah, don't these games, like, get kind of maligned for being kind of too easy in the single-player stuff anyway? Like, you just kind of over-level halfway through and everything dies in one hit?
So even if you don't, it's like, the thing is, so much of the Pokemon, like, game is just... is what's that term for, like, knowing what your opponent's gonna do?
Yomi.
That's basically Pokemon. And without that, or like playing against an AI where, like, you don't really know how it's doing that, it's like, and it can't, like, really predict you without actually just cheating, is really easy for the most part.
Yeah. But, like, I think that Pokemon, like, in the year 2022, is still afraid of things that happened in the year 2000. Of did you guys play Pokemon Gold Silver?
Yeah, when they came
out.
Actually. Really? Merit?
Mike, did you?
Yeah, no, I fell off. I played Blue, and then I didn't play a Pokemon game until, like, Leaf Green.
Oh.
Yeah, which was just the remake of Blue, so.
Yeah, I own a number of them just because my partner plays Pokemon, and I am the opposite copy bitch. So whatever version she buys, I have to buy the opposite copy, and then I play some of them. I don't play many of them to completion, but yeah, I own most of them.
So, like, my main point with that was when that game came out, the second or third gym was, like, a normal type gym. It had
Miltank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It had Whitney in the Miltank, who is one of the toughest gym leaders in the entire series.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think so many little kids bashed their heads against that gym leader that they were like, we should not make this difficult anymore. We should make this so anybody can get through it no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, they were looking at this structure and being like, well, okay, we can let them do whatever. How do we make it so it's still like reason? How do we make it so they still go on a path that makes it appropriately level or difficulty wise for them? And once you get to that like level of compromise, you're kind of, there's kind of really no point to that structure anymore.
Pokemon, like many things in fandom and gaming and everywhere, Pokemon is for kids, and some people forget that.
Right.
Well, is it? Yes.
Yes.
It is an intention, not so much an audience.
But they ended up building like a really robust like battle system that then became, yeah, like it's, again, Pokemon just has these weird two audiences of like the hardcore competitive people and then children who are like probably like 80% of the audience.
Yeah.
So it's always in that weird position. But those people, again, this is why I always say, like, I'm always saying this. Anyone who asks me is just like, oh, Merritt's always saying this.
Yeah, of course. Just, I did it right before this.
Just stop making these. Just make things like Arceus on the one hand, and then just make a subscription online battle service on the other hand, and allow people to transfer their Pokemon into that if they want to, but also let them just use like rentals or whatever. And then you've just make both groups happy, and you don't have this weird thing of trying to balance the difficulty for people who want to like mess around and stuff, but also like, yeah, like 6-year-old kids.
Yeah.
I don't know that any other franchise is really like in this position at this point.
I don't think so, in terms of like games that have like such wildly varied audiences. And I mean, the way that you get there is that this Pokemon has just been around and popular since it came out. And so all the people who played it originally aged up into being those hardcore competitive people to a certain degree. And none of them, they didn't want to give up their like leveling up their characters and all that stuff. So they were like, well, I'm not going to go play Magic the Gathering or whatever, like a nerd. I'm going to play Pokemon.
Like a cool person.
There is kind of a, I mean, Temtem is out there. I know people like Temtem.
Temtem, Coromon. There's a whole bunch of them.
Like Temtem came out and everyone was like, this is the game. This is the one that's going to take Pokemon down.
I don't think it has come out. I think it's like still in early access technically.
I guess it's in early access, but you can buy it.
There have been, I feel like I get an email every week from someone who's like, this game is going to be it's going to challenge Pokemon. And it's like, it's not. Why are you even trying to pretend that? Like, it's clearly not going to. If none of these things have yet, it's just not going to happen.
Temtem 1.0 launched in June.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Wait, really? It says a lot about how popular Temtem is.
I'm looking at the Steam page right now, and it says early access game still.
Their Twitter name is 1.0 launching on 6/9.
Maybe that means September.
I think it is this later this year.
Because the rest of the world uses the normal way of day, month, year.
Well, that's not fair for them to confuse me like
that. It's really inconsiderate of Americans.
Like, even if your game is better, like if you made a better game than whatever the current Pokemon is, it's not going to matter because Pokemon is just so popular. Like companies rely on brands for a reason. Like Digimon Cyber Sleuth is a fantastic RPG if you have not played it. But Digimon is never going to like eclipse Pokemon. It's always going to be like the LaCroix of Pokemon. I'm sorry, Digimon fans.
I mean,
I don't know.
I think even Bandai Namco knows that because there was just zero hype over that last game.
Digimon Survive.
No review copies. Please don't post spoilers. Please don't tweet about the thing that happens. We're so worried that people are going to hate it.
Well, it's a VN is the other thing, too. It's just like, I think they were afraid of, I actually remember this happening around 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim, too, because that's basically a VN with some like light moving around. And then there's a whole almost siloed off second part of that game where it's like, RTS combat, and the RTS combat is actually pretty cool. But I remember when that game was coming out, I like didn't know what it was, and I like asked PR, so like, what kind of game is this? You've not said like a genre to me at any point. And I see these like weird wireframe Star Wars the arcade game looking battles and these anime characters walking around, and I don't know what this game is. And then they just did not reply to me. I just never got a response to that, and it turns out, oh, it's VN. Because like, I do think there is a fear on the part of like certain publishers, smaller publishers or more mid-tier publishers of like, we're going to localize this visual novel. We're going to sell it for $60 because because we need to sell it for $60 because it's only going to sell X number of copies to people who are way into this sort of thing. But we want to get as many people as possible through the door. So we're not going to use the words visual novel because we're afraid of that instead of leaning into it.
But also it's a very low budget. Like I've seen pictures on Twitter of like, translator notes making it into the game.
Oh wow, I had heard that.
There's like a specific screenshot of like the character saying this character's name and picture do not show up on this text box.
Translator's note: kawaii means cute.
Make sure they know Kekaku means plan. Makes no sense.
Oh god.
But yeah, it is. Pokemon is a behemoth that is never going to get usurped. But also, like, it kind of sucks because I wish it would somebody would give them a little bit of a run for their money. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm never gonna be like, oh yeah, Temtem's gonna be. I'm gonna switch to Temtem. I fully recognize this is a thing that I will probably play regardless. But man, I didn't like Sword and Shield. Yeah, I didn't like
most
XY.
People didn't. I remember people really not.
Sword and Shield has sold 25 million copies.
A lot of people watch and play things that they don't like. Ask me.
Sword and Shield, Pokemon is like it's like the Netflix stuff. Like the Gray Man is like the biggest movie in Netflix. I have not heard a single person talk about it, but I'm sure people watched it and it's just like out of their heads. And I feel like Pokemon games, like the mainline games, are like that. Like a lot of people play them. I don't know if a lot of people finish them outside of the hardcore fans.
So there's, I think, an interesting dynamic going on with Pokemon specifically, where you basically have to be one of two extremes to actually talk about Pokemon. Mm. You either have to be someone that's like, look at this fucking tree. I can't believe how lazy these game developers are. We should send them death threats. Or you are the person who is like, nothing is ever wrong with this game. Like, maybe some nerds think, quote unquote, game design matters. But I think that Pikachu is really cute, so this game is perfect. Mm-hmm. And like, what if there's like a middle ground of, this game is bad. I don't really give a shit that the tree looks bad. The problem is everything around the tree. The environment itself looks real fucking terrible.
I hated that fucking tree.
Everyone hates the tree.
God. Yeah,
that tree could have been a suit of wood.
I barely finished Sword and Shield. That was the last one for me. I'm out at this point. Mm-hmm. I did play X and Y, and I kind of liked it. I played Sun and Moon. I didn't care for it very much. And then Sword and Shield, I was like, all right, I'm done.
Did you do Arceus?
No. And I know that's like, you know, that would be the one that would maybe restore my faith in the series. But then it's not like that would be an indicator of like where it's going as a whole. So I feel like even if I did like it, I'd just be like, oh, okay, well, that was fun. And I probably won't see another one of these in my lifetime. So.
Mm. Now, I wonder, like, I genuinely wonder if that is not doing the thing that you want, but like doing a branch of it, which is the idea of like, it's Pokemon Legends Arceus. I wonder if going forward they are going to have that split of like, hey, Legends will be where we try different things or we're more open world and less linear. And then the other one is the other one.
Maybe.
It feels like they need an extra year to really like.
Yeah.
Get this thing going.
Oh, that's the actual thing.
But money, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but money.
But like, money.
It's too big a ship. Because, what if Game Freak does, in their heart of hearts, want to do a like, really good Pokemon game that will take an extra year or two to develop? Like, there's toys that can be made.
You need to make a new guy anime. So we can sell a thing of him. Sell a plush of the new guy.
Yeah,
they're like, not selling enough plushes of Fuckamon anymore. You need to make a new one.
Mike, did you see that like the Spider-Verse thing this week where that movie was originally supposed to come out this year?
Yep.
So like they had the action figures with the characters that they've not even announced or shown yet, like ready. Mm. So like the toy companies just release the toys anyway, even though there's no movie to go alongside it yet.
Yeah, because of logistics and stuff and backlogs, they just had to ship all that stuff anyway.
I guess I kind of forget that toys exist. Action figures and stuff are still things. Because I'm kind of just oh, surely all kids just have Minecraft on their iPads now. No one plays with physical objects. Like, they buy Pokemon merchandise because they're cute and stuff. But I guess they still sell, Walmart and stuff. They still have toy aisles.
Well, it's also speaking of somebody who worked in a store where we sold toys, it is Pokemon. It is.
Yeah.
Action figures sell to 80% to children and then 20% to ultra hardcore adults who are going to spend $300, Mike Williams.
God damn it.
Mike, post your desk.
The desk is actually clean. It's mostly on the bookshelf. But yeah, I have a lot of Marvel Legends and DC McFarlane.
But those are the higher end ones, right? Yeah. Those are the fancy collector toys for sophisticated adults.
Yeah, you're not seeing that unless you're a collector, because half of this stuff is pre-orders, or if it is in the store, more hardcore people are already there and they've taken the case hunters and stuff. But like Imran talks about you mentioned ship, and I've always talked about that in regards to Assassin's Creed in that one, if you're at the head of a brand that's big, the lane in which you can move is very thin, because you can't go too far without pissing off the entire fan base. But then also you're working many years ahead. Like Assassin's Creed, by time they're oh, this thing is not working, they're already probably another two games deep before they really know that, before they can react to the audience.
Yeah.
Which is another 4 years or something like that.
I forget where I read it, but it was there was that in Assassin's Creed 4, they had a thing where after every mission, you could put a rating on that mission.
Yeah.
So everyone rated the 15 tailing missions of that game, one star.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they didn't actually have that data for the design of the next game.
Right.
Until Valhalla in 2018, 2019.
Oh my God. That's so long. Yeah. Cause that was in at least four, if not three, might've had the rating system.
Yeah,
so three, I remember being rotten with the tailing and the hiding stuff.
Three might be the one I'm thinking of that has the problem with it, that had the rating system. But they did not from the beginning, they did not have that data to pour over for the early designs for multiple games, because it was just where are you going to really put it? Because every other game was already in development.
Right.
We're probably at a point where Final Fantasy 17 and maybe 18 are already starting.
Right. Somebody somewhere has a design document that says what if this one had blue hair?
Yeah. Kitase or Toriyama are probably already working on that game.
Yeah, for sure.
So I believe that. Pokemon is I don't think they're maybe as deep. I do think there's a little bit of not laziness, but they don't feel they can stretch too far.
Right.
But also I do think that they're probably another two games beyond this, maybe another Legends, maybe the next mainline game after, and whatever weird, Pikachu's Mysterious Dungeon or whatever.
Yeah.
Game.
We're still getting games that I think are superficially influenced by Breath of the Wild.
Exactly.
Without actually really understanding. I've had this talk about Sonic Frontiers for a bit, but this Scarlet and Violet also seemed to be that case of, hey, we kind of got what Breath of the Wild was going for, but really didn't understand it. And
or we don't have time or budget to implement it, because they want three of these a year.
So we're going to get the Elden Ring influence games in 4 years, or the Breath of the Wild 2 influence games in 4 or 5 years.
God, yeah. I wonder what that'll even look like.
Yeah, who knows? But I don't know. Pokemon Gen 4, that was Diamond Pearl. That one broke me. That was the game that I was I guess I'm out. And then 5, I just absolutely loved. And I loved 5 so much that I was willing to forgive X and Y for being so bad. I was Sun and Moon was all right. And I'm good. I'll keep playing a little bit. Then Sword and Shield was really bad. And then Arceus. So now I'm kind of I'm hyper fixating on Scarlet and Violet because I want that game to be the thing that makes me go, oh yeah, I actually do still love Pokemon.
Yeah.
I feel like
is maybe unfair.
I feel like when 5 came out, I feel like they were intensely unpopular.
Yes. Those are the least popular Pokemon mainline games.
Because I was, that was maybe the last Pokemon that I really highly anticipated. Because I loved Gen 4, like, because it was the first one I'd played in a long time and there was so much there. And then 5 came out and it was like, hey, you know all your friends that you love, your favorite guys? You can't use any of those until you get the get the national dex, which is was a good idea in retrospect, because it forced you to use new guys, but I just hated most of the new ones.
That's exactly why I loved it, though.
Hey, here's Garbodor, who I actually love. Yes, Garbodor! I love Garbodor. He's so great.
I love Garbodor for the specific reason that that region is based on America. They're like, what's America like? I don't know.
Garbage, ice cream, you know, fetuses. But, fuck, who knows?
But, like, there's a cave very early on in Diamond and Pearl where, like, you have to go through that cave multiple times to go through to the next city and back and forth.
Yeah.
And that cave, the only two Pokemon in it are Geodude and Zubat.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? Yes. Why am I 4 generations in and I'm still like catching Geodude and Zubat? Yes, and that's like when it like when like that like mirror cracking sound happened in my head.
Right. But they can't get rid of them because fans
Zubat
would be like,
too
where
popular. Like, everyone loves Zubat too much.
Because they did that in Gen 5 and then people hated it. So now they're like, all right, fuck it. I guess we're just Geodude and Zubat.
There's always a cave. There's always a Zubat. There's always a Geodude. There's always a Moonstone.
Well, we can move on a second. The one thing I will say, I just wanted to mention, like we talked about, you know, Pokemon will never be dethroned. I don't know. Like, Lemonade was a popular drink and it still is. And so I think it like could continue to be really popular forever. But I also think that there is stuff out there like, you know, Merritt, I think you mentioned Minecraft and but there's like, you know, Roblox and stuff like that. Like there are things out there that kids are probably playing now that are in 20 years going to be like the new Pokemon that we just don't even know because we're all old and washed and suck. So
I don't know. I go back and forth on that. It's possible, but also just like the ramp up of like corporate consolidation and stuff over the last like few decades. It's like it's possible. Anything's possible, but also just like I think it's easier than ever for like a, you know, a company with like a legacy to continue that like hold on things. So we'll see.
Yeah.
What is the next story you want to hit, Imran?
Let's talk about the KOTOR remake.
Oh boy.
So that was announced late last year, I believe, where during a State of Play, during a PlayStation State of Play, there was a trailer for a PlayStation 5 exclusive remake of Knights of the Old Republic, the much-loved BioWare Star Wars game, coming to us from Aspyr, who makes, like, they port older Star Wars games to modern consoles. Like, we've talked about, I think, recently, the Knights of the Old Republic 2 Switch port that has, like, the removed content mod coming as DLC, and like they do Jedi Knight, all that stuff. Basically, if you were a kid in the late 90s with a PC, Aspyr is catering to
you. Did
they
do Republic Commando as well?
I believe
that sounds
they
right.
did that, or they're intending to do that.
I mean,
that definitely came out, yeah.
Yeah. But that, like, that's their thing.
It feels the spirit of an Aspyr. It feels like if that's not a Republic Commando game, that is if that is not an Aspyr game, the Republic Commando re-release that they did, it is in the style of an Aspyr re-release, because these games are like, it is just, what if that old game ran on new hardware and we rezzed everything up and did no other work to it whatsoever?
And that's the key part there, is that Aspyr is a porting house, kind of like, was it Virtuos?
Virtuos.
Yeah. In that, you know, they're decently good at taking old stuff and making it new. Not as good as, say, like Blue Point, but like that's what they did. So it was kind of always surprising to me that they were the developer. I was like, that doesn't make sense. But now we know why it doesn't make sense.
Because apparently, according to Schreier at Bloomberg, The that initial trailer, completely fake. The vertical what? Slice they showed Sony and I guess Disney was also what? More or less fake.
Wow, I have not been following this too closely. I just saw it was like it was, you know, well, was delayed indefinitely.
Yeah, like it is that they've also, because it's not moving fast enough, they thought it would be done somehow by the end of this year.
You they had are not- high on dust. What are you doing?
They're on that spice. They got Han Solo's supply. He dropped it to avoid getting picked up by the Hutts or whatever the fuck, and they picked it up themselves.
Like it feels like a bunch of people who have never played video games to understand how video games work. We're like, oh yeah, this should be like you're just remaking a game, right? Like just make the numbers just
tighten up the graphics on level 3.
Just
exactly.
Tighten up the graphics. Yeah.
And so they fired 2 creative directors over the last 6 months because the game just is not shaping up the way they think it is, and now it's just completely on hold.
Yeah,
because
which means it's dead, right? Like this is not going.
I mean, I think it's dead unless somebody like big intervenes, like Disney sees people were like, okay, people really seem to want this.
This is what I'm saying. Like you're EA, right? You look at Jedi Fallen Order, you're like, wow, that really friggin' worked. Let's do a sequel. Let's keep, but you're also the EA, so you have access to Star Wars. You also still have BioWare. How do you not look at like the response to even just a remake of Knights of the Old Republic and go, hey, maybe we should get in on that?
I mean, one, EA is such a weird company these days.
Yeah.
That I think they got the first part of that right. Of hey, Jedi Fallen Order did really well. Let's pursue that as single, like, and that's a good idea. Let's just keep pursuing single player games that are kind of prestige for us. But I don't think they figured out the other half of that, which is what if we follow the market versus the market, like trying to lead it somewhere. So I don't think does the BioWare that made a good Knights of the Old Republic still exist?
No, it's a different team.
Yeah, most of them are gone.
It's different teams, but like, could the existing BioWare, the people who made Anthem, make a good one now? And I don't think that's necessarily a certainty.
I mean, so much of what people love about like that stuff from that era is like really good writing and presentation and like a very different like exploration of a franchise that they loved. And it's just like nothing about modern BioWare. When was the last time BioWare? I guess it would Dragon Age Inquisition was the last game they put out that people were like, I love these characters and this writing. Like nothing about the combat in. I mean, it's fine. I think it plays perfectly fine even today, KOTOR. But it's just like you go up and you click on a guy. And your guy starts attacking that guy, and then you press a button sometimes. Mostly people were in there for the romance options and like the weird shit about the Force and, you know, conversations about like what it means to be a Jedi versus a Sith in this universe. And that was also
people
then
fuck a Star War.
People want to fuck a Star War. And Obsidian came around like they used to do back then and did it better in KOTOR 2.
Yep.
Actually,
also, why doesn't Microsoft do it? Microsoft.
That's what I was about to say. Like, If this deal like is not super Sony locked, I could see Microsoft being like, "Hey, we have Obsidian.
Yeah,
why don't we just take this over?"
I'm so curious about Obsidian as a company right now because they're working on like 4 games at the moment.
Yeah,
there. What was that?
Grounded.
There's that weird RPG that like 2D hand drawn. No.
Oh,
Penitent.
Penitent. Yeah.
That's Josh Sawyer's current project, which looks neat, but it doesn't seem like a super high lift.
Friend of the show, Josh Sawyer.
Yeah. I feel like for all of the issues with Microsoft as a whole, as a big company, Microsoft as the steward of these studios it just bought is more of like, hey man, just make whatever. Like we'll hope something hits, but if not, it's all on Game Pass. It doesn't fucking matter.
I think that is the actual thing is like Microsoft as they exist right now is just not concerned about hits. They're just not a hit driven company. They are a get shit out quickly so it can go on Game Pass and people can have and can look at the big number on Game Pass and see, look at all these new games. So they can run sizzle reels that say like all of these games are coming in the next 12 months to Game Pass. And a lot of the games that come out on Game Pass are not great, actually, for the most part. But
a lot of the AAA games, I would say,
right,
would be the things of like, eh, this is fun. Because if you have a, like, if you spend $150 million making a game, Microsoft's got to pay you a pretty penny to, like, put that on Game Pass.
Right.
It is so, 100% the Netflix model. It is yeah, resulting in the same kind of content you see on Netflix, which is fine.
Resulting, like, the gray man of video games, you right, know?
Like, you'll get that stuff. Like, that's the major stuff. Like, that stuff is all just like, eh, it's fine, whatever. And then occasionally you'll get something that's interesting otherwise. And
usually it is
build on that, but you don't know.
Usually it's games like, I think, Imran, you were kind of alluding to, which is like the Tunics of the world. Like, I'm not as in love with Tunic as a lot of other people have been. I haven't played enough of it yet, but I know that game was huge for a lot of people, and it was day and date with Game Pass, and that was like a big deal.
Yeah, I think Game Pass is great for that series of things that like straddles the line of AA and AAA, like a Yakuza, like Bandai Namco's weird, their anime action titles, like what was the name of that thing? It's not Covain, Scarlet.
Oh, Scarlet Nexus.
Scarlet Nexus. That's it. Yeah, like those games live on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Then there's like the higher tier of things like Elden Ring, which if it ever comes to Game Pass, will come like a year and a half later.
Right.
Hey,
but anyway, KOTOR.
Do you know who owns Aspyr?
No.
Take a guess.
Are they Embracer?
They're Embracer Group, baby.
They've been embraced.
They have risen as a member of the undead.
It's funny how everyone...
and no one else.
that was last year.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Like early last year.
That feel like if you had to put a gun to my head and say and said, tell me who owns or who bought Aspyr, I would have said Embracer Group.
I mean, if you said Embracer when someone asked you that question of any studio, your odds of being correct are like 1 in 3. So
okay, this is a slight digression, but earlier today they released the stuff on the AEW game, and they said Embracer is publishing it, or THQ Nordic is publishing it. There was in the trailer, they use the old THQ logo that was on like the WCW NWO Revenge carts.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it feels like kind of gross in a way.
Weird.
Of like, you're really leveraging something that does not really apply mm-hmm. to you.
Huh.
Yeah. Even though they do own it.
It's in the game.
Oh, no.
I forgot about that.
I enjoy, because the Embracer model is so antithetical to what most of the rest of the industry does. They're just like, I mean, we'll put some resources into it, but like, we're making B titles of your favorite classic IPs.
And that's what they've been doing for like the last 5 years. But like, presumably now that they own like Crystal Dynamics and the rest of Square's Castlevania.
Ah, Gex.
Yeah. Like, presumably they are going to make some AAA games.
Right. Like, Crystal Dynamics does not make like indie titles. They don't make AA little Euro RPGs. Yeah.
Maybe they make
products that are
now
very expensive and sometimes bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I could see them making a new Deus Ex. Like, they have to shift into a phase, because they've purchased enough studios now that they have to shift to a phase now where they make bigger games.
Right.
And like, I think Saints Row is maybe the start of that for them, because they're spending a ton of money on that game's marketing in a way that...
Wait, Deep Silver is embraced?
Oh, yeah.
I missed that.
Oh, yeah, that was a while ago. So Embracer picked up all of the whatever media.
Coke Media?
Yeah. Coke Media properties. So, yeah, that was when they picked up a lot of the stuff. Like, all of that THQ side, they picked up pretty much all of that stuff.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything that was former THQ that is now no longer Embracer.
Huh. Interesting.
So... They own it all. Good for them. Congratulations, Embracer. You weird me out.
KOTOR remake. Anybody sad about this? Anybody want to see this picked up somewhere else?
It didn't exist, so whatever.
One of the big things, like, so that game was just like such a combination of, we hadn't really seen a lot of Star Wars games like that at the time that weren't set during the like Battle of Yavin original trilogy era. We certainly hadn't seen a lot of characters or a lot of games where you were creating a new character who you could sort of like direct. They existed, but it was not nearly as common. And also, that it's sort of like the first modern BioWare game.
Yeah.
And so it had that novelty to it as well. And it's a great game. I loved that game when I first played it on my Crystal Pepsi Xbox or whatever. It's like going back to it now would probably, I mean, you would have to make some significant like mechanical overhauls for it to be enjoyable given like what people expect at this point, I think. And like, I don't know. I feel like just the original is still basically fine. Like, I don't know that this needed a remake. Like, I was like kind of like, oh, that could be cool. But also 2 was always the better game.
And also any remake, like any changes that they would make, like people would like flip their shit over it. Like if they changed,
unless they
the
just
combat.
Deleted Karth, that would be fine. We've removed Karth from the game. All scenes that he would have talked in, it's just like it sits on a blank screen, like a just background. Yeah, we've digitally replaced Karth with an Ewok.
Yeah, like the Last of Us remake video like came out and people were like, oh, they didn't change enough of the combat. It's like, well, yeah, because if they changed the combat to match Last of Us Part 2, like they'd have to redesign the environments. Like an actual remake takes so much more work. Like you're just making another game, essentially.
That's why this claim that like, yeah, it's going to be out this year from the executives at Aspyr saying that was going to happen, that was ever on the table as something that somebody thought was possible, a full remake, because this wasn't like an HD remaster. This was because that already exists. You can already play HD versions of KOTOR on your phone and a bunch of other stuff. So they were like talking about a Blue Point style game, which is not something that this studio has ever done. All they've done are those like sort of really, really middle of the road up-reses to get them working on modern hardware. And so this is not only a massive undertaking of a project, it's a massive undertaking of a project for a team that is not, to my knowledge, equipped to do that sort of thing, especially not in like the whatever 6 months or whatever that they said it was going to take. That is to me the funniest part of this whole story. Yeah. That was a line in this article.
It continues the important Sony tradition of every generation. They have to like advertise some game at a press conference or show or whatever that has no chance of ever coming out.
Right. It's the Dark Sector of this generation.
And there were two, like, was Eclipse also at that one that the KOTOR remake was announced?
Oh, I don't remember. What just happened to Eclipse?
Oh.
Eclipse is the Quantic Dream game, and apparently they can't. Right.
No, that was Game Awards.
Okay. I was wondering if they were both announced the same. And so that's the other Star Wars game that is almost certainly not going anywhere because of different issues.
Right. I think Disney went on a drunken bender of just approving whatever anyone wanted to do. And now it's the next morning being like, what did we, who's David Cage?
Quantic Dream. Okay. Let me just Google David Cage real quick. Oh no.
We are still the top search result for that thing. Because I check the news, the numbers every so often. It's like, wow, another 1,000 hits for that same David Cage article again. Like, people are really interested in finding out that he called all his female character whores.
Yep. Seems like a great company over there. Everything is going well. What's the next story?
Okay. Let's. The rest of these are somewhat lighter, or not lighter, lower lift ones.
Okay.
Yakuza 8, we saw some images off screen of that thing because for some reason Famitsu and an MMA fighter went through the studio and they just started taking pictures of stuff that was on screens.
Oh, hell yes.
Perfect. Great. I love it. I'm watching this now. It's a little bit tough to find because it's a 17 minute video and you have to scrub through because it's mostly interviews. But yeah, they're just like pointing their phone like developers thing as they're like moving mouths. They're dog mouthing if anybody remembers that.
They really need this thing to hit because this is the first RGG studio game after Negoshi and a lot of the other team left.
Yeah, so right. He's at NetEase now?
Yes, he's doing a new studio at NetEase.
Yes. Which is almost certainly going to make games that are like Yakuza, so they're going to have probably direct competition.
Ooh. Are they going to finally do Triad? This is what I'm hoping. Like, come on, expand beyond Japan. You can do it.
Sleeping Dogs yeah, 2.
Do Rise of the Triad. Do a remake of Rise of the Triad.
It'd be funny if it's like that thing where, so when a famous developer leaves their studio, everyone's like, oh, they're going to make a new version of the thing we love. And then they just make something from like way back. Like when Yu Suzuki made that shooter on Apple Arcade that yeah. everyone left the trailer.
Space Harrier game.
Yes. But like, it'd be funny if he does that, but just like, it's a new Monkey Ball, essentially.
What if he's like, I finally get to make my dream game, and it's one Ball in Wonderland.
Oh my god,
Yuji Naka has been going on a social media tear that as a news person I love, but it's so funny because one, he is saying some things that are provably false.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like he's saying like, oh, so the famous story of Sonic Extreme where the American developers used the Knights engine for the boss fights, and apparently he put a kibosh on it after he saw that. He denies that ever happened, but like four other people have been like, no, that's exactly how it went. Like, I don't know what the fuck Yuji Naka is talking about.
He's out there like, he's also out there like talking about, oh, they took Michael Jackson's music out of Sonic, yes. And people are like, wait, what? That was always a rumor, but that was never like something confirmed.
Yeah, like it's funny that he gives no fucks, but also I'm not positive all the things he's saying are true.
Right. Well, I think there was actually like a YouTube documentary from like the early days of YouTube, like before YouTube documentaries were a thing. It's like literally from like 2006 or 2005 or something like that, where the guy who supposedly did make that music was like just straight up says like, yeah, Michael Jackson came into the studio and kind of gave his blessing on some stuff, but I mostly wrote a bunch of the music, and I asked, is it okay if this music sounds like this, because it kind of sounds like some of your stuff? And Michael Jackson was like, yeah, sure. And so that's mostly what it was, but like that part of the story just never really took on traction. It's like the ET cartridges in the desert thing, where it's just like, people knew for a very, very long time, yes, this is how it went. But then, like, enough time passed and enough people just chose not to look for the truth as it existed, I guess, and decided that it was a mystery.
Mm. Yeah. Did you know you can't find that episode of The Simpsons anymore, like, on Disney Plus?
Yeah,
like,
it's the one episode that you can't watch.
The Michael Jackson one?
Oh, right, yeah.
Where he was, like, the guy thought he was Michael Jackson, but it was actually Michael Jackson playing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Like,
I think it's fine to remove things without any note about why they did that and pretend they don't exist. I think it's good to do that, and we should all do that. Strive to do that with all of our errors and past that we prefer not to think about.
I like that episode. It's the problem.
Yeah, no, it is good. Yakuza 8. Wow.
Yakuza 8. Wow. Yakuza 8, I feel like.
Merit, big Yakuza fan.
Yakuza 7,
I'll get into it one day.
When I talk about the games that like learn from Breath of the Wild, I feel like Yakuza 7 is actually one of those. Mm. Not because it takes from Breath of the Wild, but it thinks like, okay, how do we reinvent our series?
Wait, did Yakuza 7 come out?
It's like
7
a dragon.
It was like a dragon.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this one's probably also going to have a subtitle that's not in the West of.
Because I was for a second there, I was like, how do we get to 8?
Well, the funny thing is, if you there's count more, like the spinoffs, there's way more than 8
Kiwami, Yakuza games. The remakes.
There's 2 PSP games we don't talk about.
There are 2 games
people
are that
still
are like,
asking for Kenzan.
Yeah, those 2. Yes. Kenzan and Ishin.
Yeah.
Which are the Yakuza games that are set in like feudal Japan, but and use Yakuza characters, but also crucially aren't sequels to one another. It's like one is set in like the year 800 and one is set in the year 1200, and they still use the same character models, but they're playing completely different characters in largely different settings, which is very weird.
Yeah.
No, I love that. I think that's great.
It's great.
That's like the Tezuka model of just like, hey, I invented some characters and I'm going to treat them like actors and just put them in all my stuff.
Yeah.
Playing
sure.
different guys, but they just always look the same.
I think for the US probably they should do it like keep the Leica, like a, you know, like the Spider-Man home films. Oh. Like so Yakuza like a tiger or Yakuza like
sure.
a
yeah. He's a fish, the main
like
guy.
A fish.
Yeah.
Doesn't have quite a lot of. It doesn't sound great.
like a dragon fish.
Like yeah, he has like a dragon fish tattoo.
Wet and wriggling guy that Gollum's gonna take a big chomp out of.
No, that Gollum game got delayed, so it's fine.
No!
No one asked for that game.
That's
oh my
the
God.
Only game that I want. I only want to play the Gollum game. But we do have some details on Crisis Core.
We do.
Do we want to talk about
mostly
that?
Mostly the major thing from that is that they, despite what they were saying earlier, they promised they're not changing the story.
Because they changed with Final Fantasy VII.
So Final Fantasy VII Remake kind of needs Crisis Core's context. Mm. Otherwise, the end of that first game makes zero sense for anybody.
I see.
But like, once they announced Crisis Core as a remake, people were kind of going, okay, are they changing the story of that at all? Because then once you change that, then Remake doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Yeah, I think the funny part for me is that when you look at this sort of line of stuff, like Nomura in his little corner of the company has just made this weird batshit mythology that all goes together and no one has been able to stop him, to the point that you're just like, wait, does Remake maybe potentially reference Kingdom Hearts? I don't know. What?
The Nomuraverse.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's very
Nomura cinematic universe.
Well, and nobody's had to contend with it, with the weird shit that happens in Crisis Core, because it was a PSP game that was only released on UMD. It was never re-released digitally because of music issues. So most people have It's the story of Zack, who's a character in Seven, who's in flashbacks, and it's basically his origin story.
Right. Okay. I get him confused with the long hair man, because I never played Seven.
Sephiroth is Vincent. That you're confusing? Vincent. Okay.
Ah, yes. Vincent has his own spinoff.
Vincent was Dirge of
That's
Everest.
Why I get them confused.
With Gat in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Gat. Well, I mean, Crisis Core had Gat.
Actually Final Fantasy VIII, Mike, that Gat was in. He's the main character.
Nomura had a thing for Gak.
Let's all find a Final Fantasy game that doesn't have Gak in it.
Final Fantasy VIII.
Some of them came up before he was born, probably.
Oh, right. That's true. He was a big character in Crisis Core.
Yes.
So they're going to have to
the villain. He's the villain of Crisis Core.
He eats Zack's hair and is like,
sorry?
And Zack is like, that guy just ate my hair.
Yeah. To steal Zack's powers because it's in his
hair. Oh, he's like a Samson.
He's like eating his genetic material or something like that to like take into himself or something like that. And then he's like, he's being held. Zack is being held down on the ground on a bridge by like two soldiers. And then Gackt comes up, pulls some of his hair out and then eats it. And then his soldiers pull out some of Zack's hair and eat it too.
Okay,
and Zack is like, what the fuck is going on?
We need to. I don't like this.
I hope the remake shows it with different, because you can't pull out someone's hair and their hair not look different.
I mean,
what? It should be.
It doesn't have to be like a lot.
How much hair is he pulling out?
I mean,
Zack has a lot of hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that also eating lush, hair sounds like, thick anime hair.
He does.
Like, you can't just eat hair. You have to wash it down.
I mean, can we not talk about eating hair anymore?
What if we talked about another story on this list?
Forspoken has been delayed. Again.
Again.
Shock.
Which they imply not their fault, in a way that I've never seen a company be like, yeah, Sony's kind of telling us not to do it.
Huh.
Like they say, so it has been delayed from what was intended to be October, which is just a month from now, to January. And their actual delay reason was like, the game is done. We're polishing it a bit because we have time to polish it.
Mm-hmm.
But in speaking with our partners, of which there is only one. we've decided we need to move this game out of this holiday window.
Huh. So Sony needs a game for that window. And
right.
God of War already for this holiday.
Right.
I
think the reasoning is if you release it in October, it's going to get run over by The Last of Us. Like,
right.
The Last of Us and then God of War right after that.
Right.
So you can release it. It just, we're not going to give you that much marketing money for it.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Right. Whereas if you move it to Q1 2023, we don't have anything there.
Right.
So we'll be nice to you.
We'll put some more oomph behind the game that we don't own when we don't have games that we do own. Cause those are first. That's the thing about Sony. Sony puts out Sony video games. And I guess if you're making an exclusive with them, you have to consider that.
But also, like, I think part of that reasoning is nobody cares about Forspoken. Mm. They've not gotten a single person to be like, hell yeah, I'm so excited for Forspoken. I think the most anyone thinks about Forspoken is, oh yeah, that game, huh?
The isekai RPG.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll try it, but, like,
yeah,
I don't really even fully, like, it's open world action-y. I don't really know what the game is.
Yeah.
It's just...
I was at a preview, and I know what it is. I just... It's not that interesting so far. Like, they've not shown what the hook for that game will be, besides you can combine spells and dash around, which are neat things, but not enough for me to drop $70 on a
video. I could do that in Fable 3, so.
Right. I mean, straight up.
Fable 3 and solve kingdom issues or whatever the fuck that game ended with.
And, yeah, and, you know, throw children into a furnace to power my war machine or whatever.
Yeah. But there's, like, you know, there are games like that, especially on Sony consoles, there are third-person action games where you run around and do different things. Like, and some of those have bigger hooks than others. I think for some people, not necessarily for me, the hook in The Last of Us is the story and those characters. Spider-Man is the more obvious example that leaps to mind, though, because it's like the hook in that game is that swinging feels
you
really
are
fucking good.
Spider-Man.
You're fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah. And like... And not to crucially though, you are not fucking Spider-Man. That's they don't put those on the console. But,
not yet.
But those are just new Spider-Man's coming to PC, so maybe you will.
Yeah.
Those models are getting ripped.
Oh my
god.
Immediately.
Oh my god.
No. They're gonna do they're gonna do Spider-Man Elsa Dentist in HD.
No,
crucially,
with a guy who doesn't look like Tom Holland. We didn't change his face to look more like Tom Holland. That just the fact that he looks like Tom Holland is just a total coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so wild they got away with that.
That's so weird. Like,
I don't know. We're doing it. Don't ask questions. And it was like, fine, whatever.
Yeah, who cares? It is so like bizarre. You see his face most of the time.
That's true.
The big problem with Forspoken is Final Fantasy 15. I know some people enjoy that game. For me, it plays terribly.
Yeah.
The only good thing is the story. And even that was like half finished when it first came out. But, like, Forspoken seems to be a lot of the same foundation as the gameplay of Final Fantasy 15, and I did not like that. So, I just don't know why they carried it forward into its own game.
The thing I liked about, the thing that to me is sort of tragic about Final Fantasy 15 is, like, the first 5 hours of 15 have that really, I think, a really interesting hook, like a really interesting concept of these guys who are just on the road together and need to pick up odd jobs and to make money to buy food and go camping and stuff. And if you go out on monster hunts for locals, and if you have good, like if you did a good job monster hunting that day, you can stay in a hotel and you get better buffs for the next day, and then you can go out and hunt bigger and badder monsters. Or if you didn't make much money that day, you have to camp out in the fucking woods and eat chicken noodle soup and stuff like that, and you don't get as good of buffs. And that sort of idea of like video game version of like Trigun or something like that, where it's just like, you know, serialized or non-serialized, whatever it is, episodic road trip adventure story set in a fantasy world is like really cool to me. But yes, also the combat system is not good.
Yeah. I will give them the benefit of the doubt. It looked fun from like what they've shown so far, but like it's that line of, this looks fun, I bet I would enjoy it while I'm playing it, versus how do I get motivated enough to pick this up in the first place?
Yeah.
And I think Forspoken rides that line exactly to the point where I don't know, like, if they send me code, I will play it.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I'm not sure what would motivate me to do so.
For sure. I'm interested, but yeah, I'm there. Like you said, there's no hook for me yet. Do we have anything else? Or are we pretty much...
I think that's... We can skip the near church thing. We have stories on the site. We have a thanks for the knowledge about it last
you
week.
Sure? Like, the near church thing was pretty wild. We've been going for a little while, and I know people probably have stuff to do, but I just want to say that if we are skipping it, we should tell people, you should go to fanbyte.com news section and go read the Nier Automata church story.
Also, last week's
TFK. Also, Live Alive came out this month. I feel like I'm never this person who's like, you got to support it so they know. But like, You got to support it so they know.
I mean, we can talk about Live Alive. We have not talked about Live Alive yet.
I'll talk about Live Alive. I've not played it.
I'm like a little ways in. I think I'm wrapping up my fourth story. I've only played a little of the original. I tried to play it a few years ago with a translation patch. But it's just wild that this game got a remake, considering it was never released in the US and like wasn't popular in Japan.
Yeah. It looked real bad. Like it was.
Oh yeah, no. Like the sprites were really tiny. The battle sprites were like okay, but most of the game, yeah, it didn't look great. Very weird concept that sort of didn't fit into the mold of what an RPG looks like at the time, because you're shifting around between these different characters. In many ways, just like a prototype or like testing ground for the ideas that would then find their full expression in games like Chrono Trigger. But really neat. And the way I described it, I think on Channel F recently, was like, it's basically a collection of short stories that uses the RPG, like the JRPG format, as like a way of telling them. And also it gets like very, very weird at the end, because like,
yes.
So minor spoilers, I guess, once you finish the first seven stories, you get an eighth story. Ooh. Once you finish that, then all of those characters come together for one giant party, kind of, except it's more like the fate of the universe and shit, during which you can choose to play as the villains and just be like,
what?
Fuck all of y'all.
It gives you the option of every single character, including the villain.
Including the character who turns out to be the villain.
And if you do that one, it's his ending is just like, all right, I'm just going to do the evil things.
I'm going to do the evil things. And then also, like, I guess further minor spoilers. If you're in that like last chapter and you're the villain, the flee command, and because you can skip a lot of the battles in this game. And like I mentioned on Channel F, you can skip some story battles and it has story consequences, which is really cool. It changes the flee command to, like apocalypse or Armageddon or something. And it's just like, basically you just like press the like destroy the universe button. And that's the ending you get, because you're just like, oh, I'm losing. No, that's it. Everyone dies. So it's just kind of cool. And like,
play this game.
There's a bunch of like Enix and Square RPGs from the 90s that have never been officially released. And more of them are getting translation patches, which is really cool. But like Treasure of the Rudras is one that comes to mind, where you're like creating spells by combining syllables to like, oh, this syllable means a fire attack, and this one means like attack all enemies, and this one means does more damage. And like you create a spell like that. It would be really cool if more of those games got adapted in this kind of way, I think. So yeah. If you like this kind of thing, I would say check it out.
I have a currently stalled article just sitting in the CMS right now of like, if you like Chrono Trigger or you like games like Undertale, you can see their bones.
I was about to say, so Live Alive is designed by Nobuyuki Inoue, who also directed Mother 3. So this is as close as you can get.
Yeah,
it's like Takashi Tokita is the director of most of the scenarios in this game and the writer of the game, and like he directed Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, kind of a testing ground for a lot of the stuff that would go on to like define really big RPGs of the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah,
I really want to play this.
And I think part of the benefit, context always matters for game releases, any sort of release. And I think the fact that this is like a 30-hour quirky RPG coming out like now really helps it in a way that when it came out did not. It was just another also ran.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because it was competing with like Final Fantasy 3 or 4 or something at that point.
It was a year before Chrono Trigger, so it would have put it around FF6.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like, and I remember at the time, like, I read up at the time that a lot of the reasons people in Japan didn't like it was that it was too short for an RPG.
Yeah.
Because everyone thought at that time RPGs, to warrant the cost of the buying the game, it should be 70 to 80 hours long and have like an epic story that ends with you killing God.
Mm-hmm.
And Live Alive doesn't do that. Live Alive is like a fairly short, like it is an anthological vignette-based thing that they added some new content in this version that I think is very interesting because it feels like it's actually, this game influenced Undertale, very clearly influenced Undertale. But I think the new content is actually influenced by Undertale in turn.
Oh, interesting.
So like, it's a weird Ouroboros of different RPG tropes that even at the time this game was trying to subvert tropes. And now 30 years later, it feels like those tropes are back again and it's trying to subvert them in a different way.
And if you wanted the weird game at this time, so this would have been Final Fantasy VI, it would have been Romancing Saga 2 was essentially the weird RPG, but bigger than this at the time. So it's one of those, like, in the context of when it released, it was like, I don't know, man. But now, like, when every game out there is a live service or 100 hours, you're just like, wait, you only want like 25 hours from me?
Yeah, I got a live service.
Well, that's awesome. Like, I mean, this is a situation where I know we kind of spoiled some like thematic stuff that goes on, but like, I've been like, oh yeah, that's something I should check out for a little while now. But like now, because people have been dancing around it, everybody keeps talking about how like cool and interesting it is. But like people have mostly danced around like what is actually cool and interesting about it. And the more I hear, especially hearing now you talk about it twice, Merit, on both Channel F and this, like I'm getting this game. I'm going to pick it up. I'm bummed to, I was going to buy it on Steam while we were having this conversation, but I guess it's only on Switch right
it
now.
It is only on Switch right now, yeah.
It'll almost certainly get ported one day.
Yeah.
Like, I think Octopath was a year later, 2 years later, but like it's one of those things where you see the UI and you see like it has graphical interpretations of the buttons. Like, yeah, that's a generic button placement. Like that's a thing that they know they're going to replace that button graphic at some point.
But gotcha. But yeah, you know what? Like, come on, do this. Maybe we'll get I don't know, Bahama Lagoon or like Energy Breaker or
all the classics.
All the classic RPGs that nobody knows of. A Dark Half. You know Dark Half?
Yeah, the Stephen King novel. It's great.
You know what I would love, and this is unlikely they will do this at least for another couple of years, but if they start remaking stuff in the PS1 era again,
yes.
I would really be, I want to see Tobal number 1 and 2.
Tobal! Oh my god, Tobal, with that fucking weird story mode.
We never got 2 in America,
nope.
And 2 is the good one. 2 is the one they're like, okay, we kind of get what this dungeon mode should be.
Also, since we got Inoue, Magical Vacation and Magical Star Sign are 2 RPGs that he directed for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Did they not come out in Europe?
Vacation was never localized. We got Star Sign on the DS because I started playing Vacation via a translation patch that came out a few years ago. I didn't get that far in it, but it's a really bizarre game. It's like kind of like a Harry Potter sort of thing of like magical school, but then like, oh, what if the school was trying to sacrifice all the students for like to do a war effort or something? And also instead of like elves and orcs and stuff, there's like puppets and like acorns are like one of the like fantastical races. It's very weird, but like it has a very cool battle system too, where like you're basically, you get your MP back constantly. So you're like encouraged to use spells all the time. Yeah, that would be great. I would love.
Yeah, because I feel like Miyamoto kicked in for that game at the time. I think maybe just producing, but even producing, like,
yeah,
Miyamoto came.
It was
down
Nintendo
was
published,
like,
I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, and he tends to get involved in those games.
See, I'm so basic because I'm like, I don't really know, or I just literally don't know about like a lot of the games that never got localized.
Yeah, those games were Brownie Brown. Which is now 1UP. And I think they got like bought or whatever, taken over by Nintendo like 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, I believe Nintendo owns them. They also made Mother 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring back Brave Fencer Musashi. This is all I'm asking for. Well, no, I also want Iron Hander.
Why?
Brave Fencer Musashi?
Is terrible.
What are you on?
It's terrible.
Did you work for Aspyr?
All right, Fantasy Life. Well, we can all agree, though, that Fantasy Life is a perfect game, and that mobile version of it is probably not very good, and we just need I know it's only 10 years old, but it's on the 3DS and it's like no one has a 3DS anymore. Mm. So just make Fantasy Life 2 on the Switch.
The 3DSs are also like mad expensive now. It's hard to get them out there.
If you get a 2DS, if you don't care about the 3D feature, those things are actually pretty good.
Mm.
Yeah, but I want the thing that can play all the... I want a machine that allows me to play Super Mario 3D Land.
Yeah, I mean, you can still play 3D Land. Just because they had to make every game like playable without 3D because they... Because
they're like, this will warp kids' eyes. It'll turn their eyes square. You're not supposed to do it if you're under 12 or whatever.
The warning they gave that pretty much killed that thing was, hey, kids shouldn't play this. And everyone was like, okay.
There were puzzles in 3D Land where it's like you would be looking at a diorama or something like that.
They're easier, but not
like... Yeah, but that's the full experience. That's what I want.
Yeah, well...
I don't want a machine that can't get me the full experience on everything. What am I doing?
Hmm.
I have to get a HTC Vive or a Valve Index or whatever the fuck for $1,000 and not just an Oculus Quest because I need the full features. What if it can't do all of the stuff?
I mean, just wait a couple of months. I'm sure the Oculus Quest will be $1,000 anyway.
That's a good point. I forgot that they're raising the price. What a weird thing. Anyway, we should probably dip on out of here. This has been going for a little while now. Anyway, we can move on and call it for another episode of 99 Potions, the premier Fanbyte RPG podcast.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to be on next week, but I think we're talking Xenoblade.
We'll be talking about Xeno stuff. I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles 1 Definitive Edition, not 3, which would be smarter to do, but I wanted to beat 1 and maybe 2 and maybe that DLC. We'll see before I go into Xenoblade Chronicles 3. So I'm nearly done with Xenoblade. Yeah. So I got some Xeno thoughts. I've never played Xeno Saga.
Theoretically, John will be back for that. And John will talk our ears off about Xenosaga.
He'll tell me about Cosmos.
Cosmos? Yeah, it's supposed to be Cosmos.
I always thought it was Cosmos.
I always thought it was Cosmos too, and like even though I realized Cosmos is what the intention was, it doesn't look like that.
No.
That's true. It does. It's like KOS-MOS.
Well, the reason I actually I say it Cosmos is because during when G4 TV was around, they did a couple of years where they did like proto Jeff Keighley Award types things, like video game awards shows with like live audiences and stuff. They had Wilmer Valderrama host one year, and they had like a best new character category or something like that. And Cosmos was one of the things. So like they would show the characters on screen. The narrator or whatever would go like Cosmos or whatever for each different character that came on. And that's how they said it. And that's how it's always been in my head. Cause that's literally the only thing I've ever heard or seen of Xenosaga.
No, you are actually like correct. It's just one of those things like Titus or Titus. It's fine. There's a dub in the game. Like Xenosaga actually had voice acting. So you're correct.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Like I think like Titus is supposed to be correct, but I refuse.
That's what they say in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Is Titus.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No, I will not let it slide.
We'll find out in the inevitable Final Fantasy X-3.
Hey, Imran.
Hey, Nerium.
It's just me and you here today.
It is just us.
I mean, we've got guests on this episode, but it's not really like, you know, the 99 Potions people are normally 4, not 2.
We've moved to the corner of the room away from our guests so we can talk privately.
Right, yeah. They don't know that I'm still recording this WAV.
That's what my shirt says. They don't know that I'm recording this WAV.
They don't know that I'm wearing a wire. Would be a great shirt. Okay, write that down. And while you're writing that down, you can also write down our social handles, which are, for me, at Nerium Strum on Twitter. Where can people find you, Imran?
You can find me on Twitter at ImranZOMG.
You can find our producer, Paul, at Polymeo on Twitter. And you can also find John, our wonderful boss over on Twitter, at Floppy Adult. Imran, I'll let you take care of our co-host, Natalie's.
You can find the incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for? Bullyish?
Mm-hmm.
Bullyish Natalie Flores on Twitter, at Hartemisia.
Kind of a bull market, bear market situation.
Yeah, you know, but she is both bull and bear.
Yeah,
and that she will just kill you.
she believes in the right to bear arms against you specifically.
Right.
And that's about it. That's going to be our social for this week. You can also, if you want to, you know, more generally, hang out with different people who love this show and like to talk about it, you can go over to fanbyte.casa, the Discord community for Fanbyte in general, which has 99 Potions Discord channel under the Fanbyte Podcasts category. Looks here. Yeah. There's a picture of Virion from Fire Emblem that somebody has just posted, sitting in a chair drinking tea, who I thought was Franziska von Karma from Ace Attorney for a minute.
They're very similar.
They are very, and like, that's the fucked up thing, is I'm realizing how similar those characters are, and I have to go home and rethink my life.
Mm. But go there, tell us what you like about the podcast, tell us what you don't like. It better only be things you like, otherwise you will be asked to leave politely.
I mean, Natalie is in there. She can see all of your stuff. So, you know, we won't ask you to leave, but, you know, we can't control Natalie either. We can't be held responsible for what she does.
No one has ever controlled Natalie.
No, no. God, no. Jesus. We've tried. Many have tried. Many died. And what we say is, let's go on over to the bar, grab ourselves a nice tall glass of potion, turn towards each other, and give it a nice... Clink!